Good morning. Our text this morning begins in Matthew chapter 13, verse 24. Matthew 13, 24. He put another parable before them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared also. And the servants of the master of the house came and said to him, 'Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have weeds?' And he said to them, 'An enemy has done this.' So the servants said to him, 'Then do you want us to go and gather them?' But he said, 'No, lest in gathering the weeds you root up the wheat along with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time I will tell the reapers, gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" So this is the second of Christ's parables that we're looking at. And just like the parable of the soils, we're confronted with a very similar set of images. You have a man going out and sowing seed. And so whenever you first read this parable, having just read the parable of the soils, your inclination is to think, well, maybe we need to, you know, interpret this kind of along the same lines. And if you try doing that, what you end up with is, well, maybe something that's halfway useful at least. Except here, in the parable of the weeds, or the parable of the tares, as it's often called, instead of having lots of different kinds of soil, you have the seed all planted on good soil, right? So it's ready to grow and it's ready to produce. But then you have this enemy who comes in and plants these weeds, these tares. And how are we to interpret that? Well, if we're interpreting it in terms of the parable of the soils, well, maybe we could look at this as like the seed that fell among thorns, right? Where it took root, it was in good soil, it started to grow up, but it couldn't really thrive, it couldn't really prosper, it couldn't bear fruit because there were these thorns, or there were these weeds competing with it, choking it out, so it didn't produce anything. And perhaps that is one direction that we could take this parable. Right, but of course, if we do that, it introduces all kinds of problems. And the point of the parable of the soils is that there's different kinds of soil. And only some of the seed falls among thorns and weeds. Unlike in this parable, where all of the seed falls on good soil, but is also accompanied by weeds. Right? I like to imagine sometimes the disciples having these kinds of conversations among themselves, right? Kind of running themselves in circles, trying to figure out, all right, what does he mean this time? Because Jesus, in last week's reading, explained why he teaches things in parables. It's a litmus test of sorts. It is there to obscure the meaning from people who are not receiving the word in good faith. And so again, you can imagine the kind of anxiety that his disciples must be in, listening to yet another parable that they don't understand. He just said, the whole point of this is that you will indeed hear but never understand, you'll indeed see but never perceive, for this people's heart has grown dull. Again, you can imagine the disciples thinking, surely that's not me, right? And so they're trying to figure out, well, what does this mean? Well, he just talked about dirt last time. You know, there's only so many ways you can talk about dirt. But eventually, at the end of the day, when they get back into the house, in verse 36, the disciples have their tail between their legs again. "Then he left the crowds and went into the house, and his disciples came to him saying, 'Explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field. All right, Jesus, we don't get this one either. All right, we know that you gave us the last one for free. You're going to have to give us this one too. And so Jesus answers, "The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed is the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are gathered and burned with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all lawbreakers, and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear." I like how Jesus throws in that little reminder there at the end, what parables are about. He who has ears, let him hear. All right, he's again giving them another freebie here, but the purpose of parables has not changed. But he explains to us the purpose of this parable. It's teaching us about the composition of this world and the fate of this world. The world is made up of those who are sons of the kingdom, those who belong to the kingdom of heaven, and those who are not of the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus says everybody who's not a son of the kingdom is a son of the adversary. Now, there's only two camps that you can fall into here. And over the course of time, the sons of the kingdom, those belonging to the kingdom of heaven, and those belonging to the adversary, live together. There's no distinction. There's no separation. But at the end of the age, there is judgment. And those who belong to the adversary will be destroyed. It's a parable of judgment. It's a parable of warning. It's a parable that invites us to repent. Right? Because the wonderful thing about this is that we know, again, from outside of the parable, if you're working for the adversary, you don't have to do that your whole life. Right? You can change teams, as it were. Right? But that doesn't quite give us the full sense of the parable. Right? That is an important sense of this parable. Judgment is coming. And until the judgment, right, if you are a son of the kingdom, endure. Right? Because it's also an explanation. This is why we have to put up with evil things happening in the world. But that doesn't quite give us the full sense of the parable, because Jesus is putting this all in terms of plants. Right? We speak of conversion because the scripture speaks of conversion. But as Jesus is explaining it here, in the parable of the weeds, conversion is not really the main thing in view, right? Again, that's why he puts things in terms of plants, right? Have you ever seen milkweed turn into corn? I mean, I grew up on a farm and I have not once seen a milkweed plant transform into a corn stalk. Again, this is the point where the analogy breaks down a little bit. But what I mean to get at is that Jesus is getting at a different point, not just this warning of judgment, but he is getting at something different. I want us to consider what the enemy has done to this field, and what is his purpose in doing what he's done to the field. If you go back to the parable itself, the enemy comes in overnight, and he sows weeds among the wheat. And in the morning, the servants ask the master of the house, "You want us to go out and gather." Now, what is the master's concern? The master's concern is for the wheat, for the good seed. And it's not just a matter of You know, like at a very young age, there's this matter of uprooting. But if the whole point of the parable is just that God is going to separate out the wicked from the good, we're left wondering, well, why wait until the harvest to do that? Again, if you're hearing this parable, having done any kind of planting, you know you don't have to wait till harvest to deal with your weeds. Right? How many people here have weeded a garden bed? You don't wait till harvest to weed. What's going on here? Why is this field being preserved until harvest for the sake of the wheat? What's going on is what we find in the law of Moses. You go back to Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 9. Jesus' audience would have known this. Moses says, "You shall not sow your vineyard with two kinds of seed, lest the whole yield be forfeited, the crop that you have sown and the yield of the vineyard. You don't mix seeds." Under the law of Moses, a field containing mixed seed is unclean. And what's the consequence? What is supposed to happen to that field? It's supposed to be cleared out. Not just the extra stuff that's been added in. You lose everything. The entire field, or if it's done in a vineyard, the entire vineyard is cleared out. You lose everything. And so when the master of the house expresses a concern for the wheat, he's not just concerned about picking the weeds out. That's something that can happen at any time. What the adversary has done in this parable is what the adversary always does. The adversary is a very hostile yet highly skilled lawyer. There's a reason why he quotes scripture at the Son of God. You think that's a bold move, Satan? Quoting the word of God to the Son of God. But that's what he does. That's his whole shtick. He knows the rules. And he tries to use the rules for destructive purposes. What is this enemy doing? He's trying to get the master of the house to give up the whole yield. What is the adversary doing whenever he tempts people away from the kingdom of heaven? He's trying to put the whole thing at risk. And of course, we see this over the course of biblical history. What happens whenever God looks down on earth and sees a certain critical mass of wickedness going on? Ask Noah. He knows. What happens whenever God looks down on his people and sees wickedness being harbored there? Ask the tens of thousands of Israelites who died in multiple occasions in the wilderness. Whether we're talking the transgression with Baal Peor, or we're talking about the lost generation in the wilderness, whether we're talking about the ones who fell to the bronze serpents, you know, the fiery serpents. It happens over and over and over again. Moses is constantly having to intercede on behalf of Israel because some people in Israel have messed it up, and God is ready to just wipe the slate clean. And he teaches us that with the law about the field with mixed seed. When something becomes unclean, you do away with all of it. And we learn that through the various cleanliness laws, not just the ones concerning the field, the ones concerning leprosy, concerning mold, mildew. Something gets corrupted, the whole thing goes out. And the adversary knows that rule. And the adversary hates us. And so the adversary thinks to himself, well, you know what? I don't have to corrupt everybody. I only have to corrupt so many. And then God's own righteousness requires him to wipe the whole slate clean. But the master of the house does something surprising. Again, remember we said earlier, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense for the master of the house to say, no, just leave them. We'll deal with that at harvest time. The master, and this is what we're to learn from the parable, our Father is merciful and forbears and does not wish to lose any of us. And so he allows this situation to go on until at the end of the age, the harvest happens, and he deals with it at that time. This is a parable about God's mercy, about his forbearance. And again, the one thing that we know is that God forbears because he does not desire that any should perish. We come back around to what we said earlier. This parable is a warning to us. And that is the call this morning. We warn all who are not sons of the kingdom, who are not followers of Jesus Christ. You might not look on yourself this way, but Jesus lays it out in these terms. You are either a son of the kingdom or you belong to the adversary. You belong to the devil. Right? You may not be aware of where the checks are coming from, but the devil's signature is on them. And so we call everyone, everywhere, to repent. God sent his Son to die on our behalf. He lived as we live. He was tempted as we are tempted, yet without sin. He offered himself as a perfect sacrifice for our sins. On the third day, he was raised from the dead. So he has defeated sin and death. We call on everyone everywhere to believe in that good news. We call on everyone to turn away from sin. We call on everyone to confess that Jesus is Lord and to be baptized into the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus for the remission of sins. If you're subject to this call, won't you come as together we stand and sing?